You're listening to the Wordslinger Podcast, episode 101, Superheroic Fiction with Lucas Flint. This episode of the Wordslinger Podcast is brought to you by the audiobook edition of Coelho Medallion. You can find Coelho Medallion on Audible and use your Audible credit, or get Coelho Medallion for free when you go to audibletrial.com/wordslinger.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're recovering from the all the eating and family time of Thanksgiving. If you're in the U.S., if you're not in the U.S., you had a Thursday. So I hope everyone's coming through the weekend okay. Now, we're back in the Houston area. We're in, actually, we're in Pearland, Texas right now. the cool thing is, we're close to where we started, honestly. You know, my wife still has a job, still has a full-time job here in the Houston area. So the downside right now is that she still has to return to work. So it's more of a downside for her than me. No, I'm kidding. But she had to be back here, so we had to spend some time driving. A lot of time driving. It's like a we'll call it a 2 to 3 day trip to drive to Naples, Florida from the Houston area, and thus a 2 to 3 day trip to drive back. We really enjoyed the time in the RV. That was our first full length trip while living full time in the RV. There were some hiccups. We had some, we got some stuff that, that broke basically, that we're having to get fixed. Some important stuff like, the windshield wipers stopped working and, the right, fender, passenger side fender came loose. So anyway, and I got really good at patching things up on the fly. So, cheers for me, I guess. So, there we are. We're back now. We're in the Pearland, Texas area. We'll be heading out for Oklahoma soon. We're going to go to Oklahoma City, hang out there for about a week while I go and work from the Draft to Digital offices, kind of touch base. We're having our little Christmas get-together, so that ought to be pretty cool. And then the week after that, we're going to be in Arkansas for another work-related kind of thing, this time for my wife. We're going to spend a week there. So it's kind of cool. We're, you know, our work is kind of facilitating our travel right now. So that's kind of neat. Downside is that we need some repairs done, some warranty work done, and there seems to be no time to get it done. So we're going to have to improvise a little. Anyway, there's that. So now, for today's guest, I mean, let's get to the good stuff. I have to tell you, I am a I'm a comic book geek. I always have been. Way back when I was first starting to read, first starting to enjoy stories, I got very, very sick. And my mother came to me and asked if I wanted some comic books. And, you know, just to give me something to read. It was hard for me to sit up and watch TV. There wasn't really, you know, we were, I'm of the antenna generation, we're going to say, where we had like three really fuzzy channels. You know, we were out in the middle of nowhere with not very good television reception, so TV wasn't really an option. Didn't have a TV in my room anyway at that point in my life. So, and video games hadn't really made the scene yet for us. So my mom asked me if I wanted some comic books, and at the time I hadn't ever read a comic book, but I was game, and she asked what, you know, what kind I wanted. And she explained to me the different types, and when she got to superhero comics and mentioned Spider-Man, I was all in. That's what I wanted. So she got me a whole stack of comic books, and that started a lifelong addiction. And, I've read comics my whole life, and I've really enjoyed them. I'm a big fan of the superhero genre. And I have toyed around with the idea of writing a superhero novel. And I think Evergreen is probably the closest I've written to something in that genre, and I kind of mentioned that in this interview. But I'm actually talking today to Lucas Flint, a.k.a. Timothy Serapaka. That's his real-world name. And we're talking about his work and his book, The Superhero's Son, along with the whole genre of superhero fiction. I think you're going to get a lot out of this. It's really interesting because this is a topic I've been kind of looking at and wanting to explore a little. And it's, if you think about it, I mean, as a genre, it's just an interesting genre, and we're in a good time for it with all the Avengers films coming out and everything related to that. I think there's a hunger for that kind of story. And, you know, frankly, we're in a period in our history where we kind of just need heroes. Let's just face it. So, anyway, this is a great interview with Lucas Flint. And I hope you enjoy it. And I know you'll enjoy it. So I'm going to go ahead and get that started. And please stick around after. We'll do a little housekeeping and catch up a little bit more. But thank you so much for tuning in. And I'll see you after the interview. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. Today I'm talking to Timothy Serapaka. You may know him as Lucas Flint. You may know him as either of those names, actually. He's the author of The Superhero's Son. He writes fantasy novels under his name, and then he writes superhero novels under the Lucas Flint pen name. Did I get all that right, Timothy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And I didn't ask you before we started, do you prefer Timothy or Tim or something else entirely?
It's all right. You can call me whatever. I'm fine. I don't have your preferences.
Sounds good. So, okay, I have to tell you that I actually kind of dig the whole superhero novel thing because I secretly want to write comic books. And I have written a pseudo-superhero story, but I haven't really jumped into the genre. What attracted you to that genre?
I've always been a fan of superhero stuff, you know, like Marvel and DC and Batman, Spider-Man, all that stuff. You know, I like the Marvel movies and stuff. And so I started looking around, like my fantasy novels weren't doing as well as I'd like, so I was looking for other genres to write in that might be a bit more profitable.
Yeah.
So I looked at the superhero genre, and I noticed a few indie authors are doing pretty well there. So I decided to take a crack at it and see if I could break in or not.
Yeah. So and what? Why did you decide on a pen name? Was that kind of a nod, like, you know, superheroes have a secret identity? Is that what you're going for?
Well, that was what I was thinking, but it does work that way. I chose the pen name because my superhero books are, you know, fairly different than my fantasy books. I mean, not entirely different because, you know, I'm still writing them, so there's some similarities. But I felt it was different enough that it needed another pen name, you know.
Yeah.
And I also like the freedom of starting a new pen name, even though I'm not hiding this one. You know, it's not a secret pen name. It still feels like, you know, a fresh start, I guess.
Right.
I'll able to build a new list for it and stuff. And it's also just a pretty cool name.
Yeah, the whole build a new list for it thing is almost entirely why I have never written under a pen name. Because I spend an awful long time building the platform that I have. I don't necessarily want to start over.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I'm always curious, by the way, when people write under pen names, how they choose the name. Like, what prompted you to choose Lucas Flint?
You know, I picked it out a long time ago. I can't remember exactly why I chose that name. I guess I just liked how it looks when it's written down and how it sounds.
Yeah.
Easy to spell and easy to pronounce and easy to remember. And I don't think there are any other authors using that pen name as far as I know.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about people confusing my books with another author's.
True. I can't think of any. I actually don't know of any other authors with the last name Flint, period. So, but I don't know of any authors with the last name Serapaka either. So, you could have gone your way there. I actually at one point thought about using my. When I first started writing and publishing, I was publishing under first J. Kevin Tomlinson and then J. K. Tomlinson, thinking I might be able to capture some of the J. K. Rowling crowd, you know. But I thought about doing a series of pen names that were just JK and then whatever last name I chose. So it would always be me with this last name. I never did do it, but maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe someday.
So you're seeing more success with the superhero fiction than with your fantasy?
Yes, a lot more success. To the point where I was able to buy a car.
Really? Okay.
With the money you get from, yeah, it's a used car, of course, so it's kind of cheap, but still.
It's a Matchbox car we bought at the drugstore. So, yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, why do you think that is, though?
I think it's because with my fantasy stuff, I didn't really understand the market. Uh-huh. Like, with my superhero stuff, I did more of that, right to market type stuff. I studied the bestsellers in the superhero genre, and
right.
I got a good cover for it, and made sure everything lined up with what I saw in that genre, but also, adding my own unique twist.
Right.
And also, I networked with a couple other superhero authors when I launched the first book, so they helped to, share it with their lists.
Yeah.
And, get some good sales on its first day.
I mean, your cover art is gorgeous, of course. Very intriguing.
Yep.
So I'm going to stumble all over it. Who are you using to do your cover art, if you can say?
Damanza.
Okay.
They're very pricey, but I've earned back pretty much, everything I've spent on the covers, so.
Yeah.
They're well worth it.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. A lot of authors I interview on this show end up using them. It's interesting. It's like they've become the go-to for like fantasy and sci-fi authors. I never considered them for superhero genre, I guess.
Actually, that's why I picked them, is because they have done the covers for a couple of best-selling indie superhero novels. So I decided I was just going to work with them since they already knew how to do it.
Right. That's cool. So when you launched, you teamed with another superhero author. So what was that, what was the sort of marketing plan there? Like, what did you guys do?
I priced it at 99 cents for the first week, in order to get people to buy it. I also put it in Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Then I had my fellow superhero author friend share the book with his mailing list.
Yeah.
And I got about 25 sales from that alone.
Right.
And that helped, I think that helped get the Amazon algorithms going.
Yeah.
Because I've mostly been relying on this series, just Amazon's algorithms, pushing the book, I guess, to readers who might enjoy that kind of book.
Yeah. So
I haven't really done too much, formal marketing like Facebook ads or email blasts or anything. So I've just been relying on Amazon pretty much.
Yeah. And you're in KU, you said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's I'm glad to hear you're successful at it. To me, do you feel like and you haven't branched out at all. I mean, you haven't gone wide at all with any of these books, right?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay. If you ever do, I would be curious to hear like what your experience is. Because I have this theory that there are some genres that do better in KU than they will anywhere else. And this may actually be one of them, just because, even though everyone knows superheroes, you don't hear a lot of readers talking about looking for the latest superhero genre book. I know there are ton out there. But it's more of I see more indie authors in that these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It is pretty, it's a lot smaller than other genres that indies are in or that readers like. But I still made, I've been making mid four figures a month off it. And they do well on Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
I get on average like 15 K page reads a day from
the
series.
So
what, I definitely, yeah.
What about your fantasy books then? How do they stack up? I mean, are they wide or are they in KU?
Most of them are wide. I do have a few books in KU, but for some reason they just don't do as well in KU as my superhero books. I'm just taking that particular series out. I'm going to go wide with it.
Yeah.
Next month, probably.
I'm telling you, there's got to be a. I've only run like unofficial surveys, and I can't like point to some sort of scientific correlation here. But I suspect that genre is going to, the superhero genre is going to perform better in KU than just about, you know, than fantasy or something else. So I think it's interesting. Good. You what kind of fantasy do you write?
It's not like epic fantasy, sword and sorcery stuff. I've taken a break from it to focus on the superhero series, but I do plan to start on a new trilogy sometime soon.
Yeah.
Because I went back and studied the fantasy market a bit more, so this new series is going to be a bit more on target, I think. And I'm also going to probably get better covers, like custom artwork or something.
Yeah, that's fairly important, especially with fantasy. Science fiction, yeah. I can kind of fake science fiction, you know? I can sort of, if I need to, I can nudge things a little with a lot of stock images or whatever. But when it comes to fantasy, there's a specific type of illustration that people gravitate toward. And you just kind of have to part with the money, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, stock images don't really work too well for fantasy covers most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, okay, so you've taken a break from fantasy. Okay, I noticed, by the way, on your website, you say pen names. Are you planning to write under another pen name at some point?
Yeah, maybe at some point. I don't have any definite plans for one now, but I am thinking of expanding to another genre or two next year, maybe, because I want to diversify my catalog, so...
Yeah. Yeah. What genres are you interested in?
I was looking at mysteries and westerns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like mysteries. I'm not much of a western reader, but I live in a pretty rural area, and I know a lot of people who do like westerns and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I've been thinking about that. I haven't really done too much research into it, but
yeah. So
I've been thinking about.
You're a fellow Texan. What part of Texas are you in?
I'm in Central Texas, about a couple of hours north of Austin.
Oh, okay. All right. You're not that far from me then. You're maybe like 5 hours from me then. If you're a couple hours outside of Austin, So. Yeah, Texas, especially that part of Texas, I can imagine that there's a bigger market for Westerns. They live that stuff, actually. They're like a Louis L'Amour novel.
Yeah, cowboys and ranchers out here.
Yeah. So is that where you were sort of born and raised, or did you just import there?
I was born in Austin. I lived in Lakeway me and my family lived in Lakeway for a couple of years, but then we moved out here about 15 or 16 years ago, and I've lived out here, pretty much ever since, like pretty much all I know. I don't really remember Lakeway, which is where we were before.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, mostly growing up out there, I mean, you spent a lot of time out there. I mean, how does that influence the work itself? Like, it seems odd that you grow up, I don't guess it seems odd. I know plenty of authors who do this, but I mean, you're living in a very rustic area, I'm sure, more rural anyway, and you write superhero fiction. So how does that work out? Because most superhero fiction ends up being set in, like, New York City or some fictional city. It's usually a metropolitan kind of thing. So where do you take inspiration for that kind of thing?
For the superhero series, I did make the main character's hometown a small town in Texas.
Okay, that works.
I'm not sure how much else my you know, environment has inspired my writing. So
possibly more on the fantasy side than on the superhero side.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that. I've interviewed a handful of authors who, you know, some live in Utah, some live in, you know, just outside Dallas or whatever. And I've noticed
that
they tend to write fiction that could double as a, we'll call it fantasy Western or Western fantasy. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which should come first, but, I think if you're a fantasy writer living kind of out in those areas, it's probably not a bad idea. I mean, it's probably fairly inspiring.
Uh-huh.
It's a similar.
Yeah, there's lots of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seems like you're doing fairly well with the superhero fiction. How many books do you have out right now? I was just looking and I don't remember.
Six books at the moment.
Six. And do you have.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This is an ongoing series, I take it. Like, there's no end in sight.
Well, it's actually going to be 9 books long. I didn't intend to end it, but sales are still good, but it does seem, I am noticing that they're doing slightly less, you know, with each release. So I'm going to wrap it up at 9 books and then move on to another series.
Oh, okay. And you've already sort of planned out what you're doing next?
Yeah, I've got another superhero series. Well, all right. I've got that pretty much figured out already.
Is it going to be set in sort of the same universe, or going completely separate?
It's separate because the way it's just the world and how superheroes and stuff are treated in it are very different from how they're, you know, treated in this universe. So I can't really, you know, reconcile them. So I decided to just make this into a new universe and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I might come back to this universe at some point, you know.
Yeah,
I've got ideas for potential spinoffs.
Okay. I mean, one of the big advantages of writing superhero fiction is that you've already got an audience that's sort of primed to the idea of there being an expanded universe beyond this character.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of a shame to not use that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
like I said, you have some ideas for spinoffs.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
So what? Same different character but same general universe then.
Yeah, for spinoffs.
Yeah.
It's just
Okay. So what's you're dipping it your toes into other genres and you're thinking Westerns and what did you say? What else did you say?
Mysteries.
Mysteries. Okay, so what's inspiring that? Those are completely different from what you're doing, so I'm curious.
Well, with mysteries, you know, I do enjoy reading, you know, mysteries like Sherlock Holmes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I've never written a mystery before, but, you know, I've read books and watched mystery movies and stuff like that, so
I
figure it wouldn't
be
very. I need to do some more research, you know, into the market and stuff, but I figure it probably won't be that difficult for me to jump from writing what I am now writing mysteries.
Yeah.
I even considered writing a superhero mystery story. It would be a spinoff of my current series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got, you know, plenty of precedent for that, you know, like The Watchmen, that kind of thing. So you could probably pull something off. I find that, to me, the whole superhero genre is actually probably one of the more flexible, because you could tell literally any kind of story you could think of involving anything from high science to high fantasy. So I think, you know, there's a part of me that kind of regrets that I haven't already started a superhero series, but then I realize I don't want to start like one more series right now. I could, I can get by.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You don't want too many projects.
Yeah. So tell me about your, process then. Like, what do you write every day or,
I try to write every day. I usually take Sundays off, but
yeah,
I did write this Sunday because I didn't meet my word count on Saturday.
Okay.
So
you have a word target.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about 4,000 words a day is what I aim for.
Yeah. Are you doing this full time?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I didn't start really making a actual living wage until just this year when I published my superhero series and it took off. But
yeah,
I pretty much don't have anything else going for me.
Very cool. Very cool. That's the dream, you know? I mean, honestly, who wouldn't want to trade places? You're making a full-time living writing superhero books.
Yeah.
I know a ton of people
pretty who nice.
Give their left arm for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So you write every day. You aim for 4,000 words per day. What's your kind of... are you a Scrivener guy? Are you Word? Or what
are
your
ideas? I use LibreOffice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to use Word, but I ended up replacing the computer it was on, and when I got a new computer, I didn't have Word on it. I didn't want to, pay for it, so I just got OpenOffice at first. Then OpenOffice messed up for some reason, so I downloaded LibreOffice, and LibreOffice has held up pretty well for me since then.
Interesting. I'm always fascinated when people are using something kind of non-traditional, I guess, or non-standard. You know, and there are so many options out there. And I know people who swear by using Google Docs. I know people who use, of course, Scrivener. I use Ulysses now. I've tried going back to Scrivener and just kind of don't want to do it. I don't know. There's something slightly appealing about Scrivener always, but now I've been writing in Ulysses for so long. I just don't feel like switching back, I guess. Nick Thacker would like me to switch back very much, though. So you're doing 4,000 words a day, and you're writing in some off-brand office software, which is interesting. So what? How do you kind of keep yourself going? Like, what's the routine?
Well, usually, I get up in the morning, and then I have to get my coffee, and then I like to drink my coffee while I'm surfing the web or checking emails, and then after I finish my coffee, I'll usually try to get some, words done.
Yeah.
Because I write fast, I can usually get done in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I'm usually done by lunch, so I can then focus on other things, whatever else that you've done, editing, marketing, formatting, whatever,
Yeah. So what's, how do you typically market your work?
For my fantasy stuff, I've used like email blasts, like free Booksy and stuff like that. I also participate in multi-author, promos. Like, have you heard of Patty Jansen's science fiction and fantasy multi-author promo thing she does every month?
No.
The idea is that a bunch of authors from across the science fiction and fantasy spectrum get together, and we discount our books either at free or 99 cents for the weekend, usually around the beginning of the month, and then we'll send out blasts to our mailing lists and go on social media and try to promote the event so that we can get lots of sales and free downloads and stuff. It's very effective. It's a lot more effective than some of the paid services I've used.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the conundrum for me is, I don't mind paying for marketing services. I just want them to be effective.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of burning out on the, let's offer my books for free or cheap, Because what I get is a lot of readers who always expect them to be free or cheap. So I'm kind of getting a little burned out on that. Are you seeing that kind of thing as well?
Yeah. With my fantasy stuff, with my superhero books, I haven't really done anything like that. I've discounted the first book a couple of times, but pretty much all of my stuff has stayed full price and it's sold pretty well.
Yeah.
And like I said, I haven't really done actually much active marketing for this series. It's mostly just been relying on Amazon, understanding and using Amazon's internal marketing algorithms to sell the book and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I've tested and played around with Amazon's ad service, and it seems mm-hmm. okay. I don't feel like I get a ton of use out of it, but maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Who knows? So
yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with the Amazon ads yet.
Oh yeah,
but I might try that sometime soon.
Yeah, yeah. I know people who swear by it, and then yeah. people who just pan uh-huh. it, and so it's hard to tell whether or not it's you know. What it, yeah. if it's worth the time.
Yeah, I remember when they first launched the ads, people said they weren't good, but recently people have been reporting better, at least among my circles, people are reporting better results.
Right.
So this might be the best time to jump in and give it a shot.
Yeah. Basically, I think I would look at it as if it's hot right now, this is a good time to get in just for momentum building, but I don't think I could rely on it full time for anything. Because knowing Amazon, I mean, with all the recent changes, uh-huh. like to their review policy and everything, it's
uh-huh.
Amazon is just the most unreliable source of discoverability that I've ever encountered. I'm just not, I don't trust them at all, so I don't know if I could. Uh-huh. Allow myself to become dependent on their ad system as well, you know. So anyway, well, we're sort of wrapping up here, but I've kind of enjoyed talking to you. I'm really interested in the superhero genre, honestly, because it's something, you know, it kind of hits close to home for me because I grew up reading comics. I've always wanted to write for comics, and oddly enough, I have tons of friends who are actually in the comics industry, and yet I don't write comics myself uh-huh. at this point. So I think it's interesting. Do you aspire, by the way, did you say you aspire to writing comics yourself or no?
I've thought about it, but I don't really want to do that at the moment because I'm focusing my books. Maybe at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do a self-published graphic novel or something.
Yeah, Amazon just announced their Comixology, their independent producer or whatever it's called. The basically, you can do on-demand comics, do your own. So that's cool.
uh-huh.
I should probably have more details about that before I go talking about it on air. But that's actually pretty cool. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I've enjoyed having you on the show, man, and I'm kind of watching. I love your covers; they're very intriguing. So I confess I have not read your superhero fiction yet. So now I get to go and explore that. You've got looks like six titles for me to dive into.
Uh huh.
Good deal.
Yep, and they're all in Kindle Unlimited.
Exactly. All right. Okay, man. Well, hey, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Got it. And for everyone else, stick around. We'll do a quick wrap-up at the end of this, and we'll see everyone else next week. Well, that was my interview with Lucas Flint, also known as Timothy Serapaca, and I hope you check out both those names on Amazon. You can pick up either of the genres that he likes to write in. I neglected to mention at the head of the show that he writes fantasy under his real name, so I hope you'll check that out too. I enjoyed this interview, and this whole idea of the superhero genre is something kind of cool to me, of course. Also the idea of the pen name, and he mentioned that, you know, one of the challenges of writing under under multiple names and writing multiple genres is, you know, you gotta basically start your marketing from zero. You have to, you know, create a whole new brand and manage that brand. I personally have a hard enough time managing the brand I've already created under my own name, so I haven't really considered a pen name. I mean, no, that's not true. I've considered pen names. I've rejected the idea of pen names for that reason. So I don't know if you're out there considering that, but I would love to talk to you if you are. I'd love to hear from you. I don't really particularly want to spend a whole bunch of extra time developing a new brand. But maybe there's a shortcut to that I am unaware of. So if you are an author who writes under multiple pen names and multiple genres, let me know. I'm a cross-genre writer, so I just decided that's who I am, that's what I am. I'm just going to post stuff under my name. So, at any rate. Okay, so for those of you interested in telling me all about that, by the way, you can reach out to me on wordslingerpodcast.com. If you go to that website, you can click on the contact button and send me an email. You can also call me. If you call me on your telephone device, you can call me at 281-809-WORD. That's 281-809-9673, where you can leave me a voicemail. If I don't happen to have Skype open at that time, I guess it kind of works out. Although I'd rather think go straight to voicemail. So, still working on solving that problem. I also can take voicemail straight from my webpage at wordslingerpodcast.com. If you click on the little orange tab floating on the right-hand side of the screen, it says send voicemail. You can record a voicemail straight from your computer, and you can send that to me. And I will play or read these things on the air unless you tell me otherwise. So, sorry about that. So, make sure that you do tell me otherwise if you're not interested in having that on the air. Sorry, I cleared my throat in your ear. Other housekeeping, if you would like to support this show, I love you for that. And you can do that. One of the best ways to do that is to go and leave a review at on iTunes and on Stitcher and on Google Play. Leave a review for the show, especially on iTunes. That seems to be where most people pick up the show. Go and check out the review page. If you search for Wordslinger Podcast in iTunes, you'll find it. And then you can leave a written review, and I hope you like the show. Say something nice about it if you want. Tell me what you're digging, the kind of information you're getting out of it. And give me 4 or 5 stars. That'll make me pretty happy. You can also support the show on Patreon. I haven't been doing a big push on Patreon. I didn't do the incentives or any of that. I'm hearing some stirrings and rumors about issues. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, the people who are supporting me on Patreon, I really appreciate your help. It means a lot to me that you're there. So thank you for that. And if you'd like to support, it doesn't take much. You know, a buck here, a buck there, maybe. But you can do that from wordslingerpodcast.com. Just click on the Patreon logo. You can do this from the show notes as well. So if you are interested in contributing financially, I can use it, honestly. It would help me a great deal to be able to offset some of the cost of production of the show. So I do appreciate that. One of the best ways, though, to support me in general, no matter what it is I do that you enjoy, is to go out and buy my books. And I would really appreciate that, and I'd appreciate it if you would let me know that you have done so. You can do that if you go to kevintumlinson.com/books. That'll take you directly to my book page where you can find everything I've published to date. And there are links there that will allow you to buy those books on any online retailer that you choose. So go check that out. I really do appreciate the support in that. Leave reviews if you like something. I do appreciate that. And if you want, you can get on my mailing list at kevintumlinson.com. And you can get there from Wordslinger Podcast. They both go to the same general website. But get on the mailing list and you'll find out about any new releases I have. Every time I'm doing an event, whatever, you'll get updated. So please go check that out. And I thank you for that in advance. The mailing list is a big deal. It's a bigger deal than people think sometimes. I mean, I know it gets touted a lot. It's the primary marketing tool, but it really is. Anyway, so all that said, we're enjoying some very cool weather here in the Houston, Texas area, which I love. And I hope continues to trend as we get into the Christmas holidays. And I'll be going north for a brief stint during Christmas holidays, so maybe that'll help. But we're enjoying we're in advanced RV resort here in the Pearland area. It's a beautiful park, and it's a great place to kind of lay over between trips. And I think probably when we come back this way, we may come back into this park. It just gives us a chance to catch our breath, be around some nice people. There's some really nice people here. There's a lot of nice facilities here. If you're an RVer and you're in the Houston area, this is on the south side of town, but this would be a good place for you to dock for a lengthy stay or whatever. It's a little pricey, I think, but it's actually quite nice. Lots to do in the area, too. So it takes a little driving, but I mean, there's a lot to do close by. So, that's it. RV life, man. It's been kind of fun. There are some challenges, but we're overcoming it. If you have any questions about the RV life, let me know. I'm doing a series of live videos on Facebook these days. If you are connected to me on Facebook, you can hop in. Just follow me. I think if we can't connect, I don't think I'm anywhere near the limit of friends I can have on Facebook. But just in case it gets there. You can also follow me on Facebook. Just go search for Kevin Tomlinson. There are a couple of us, but you'll know me. I pretty much dominate Facebook. You can hop in there. I'm planning to start putting those on YouTube. I've got a channel in mind. So I want to set all that up. So you can follow those live videos. I do that. I haven't got a regular schedule yet. I was thinking I'd do them like every maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. I may do a couple in a week. I don't know. But people have been asking me a lot of questions about the RV and about, you know, how things are going. And that's where I'm answering them right now. So check that out. So I appreciate you tuning in. I want to give my best to all of you, my love to all of you. Thank you. God has really blessed us lately, and I'm very appreciative of everything I have here. So I know you're a part of that, and I appreciate you being here. So hope you have a wonderful week ahead as we start nearing the Christmas holiday season. Just be careful out there. You know how people get. It gets a little crazy. So just be careful. Watch yourself. Be a little more cautious on the roads, that sort of thing. I hope you have a wonderful week and weekend ahead. And take care of yourselves, and I will see you next time. God bless.
Wordslinger.